Hello, thanks for joining us for today's program. I'm Ann Shelley, Music and Multimedia Services Librarian at Illinois State University. This podcast is number 7 in a series of podcasts by the Created Content Committee of CARLI, the Consortium of Academic and Research Libraries of Illinois. In this podcast, we talk about topics related to digital content and the people making it. In today's program, we will be discussing digital projects students are creating using the services, technology, and expertise available in an academic library Media Commons. Joining me today is Eric Kurt, Media Commons Coordinator in the Undergraduate Library at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
All right. Well, this is Ann Shelley with the Created Content Committee with CARLI, and I'm really pleased to be here today talking with Eric Kurt with the Media Commons at University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. We are in the audio recording booth studio.
Hi there.
As part of the Media Commons. And so, Eric, thanks very much for speaking with us today for this podcast. And I've just got a few questions for you that
sure.
I'd love if you could answer. Could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. So my kind of the short version of my background, I have an undergraduate and master's in computer graphics technology from Purdue University. While I was going to school, and most of my kind of high school and college jobs were generally in IT and technology and problem solving with technology. So while I was getting a degree in computer graphics and animation, my interest was always in technology itself. And so I went into industry and was a 3D modeler and kind of using technology in graphic sense. After that, I went back into teaching. It always was centered around technology, whether it was animation or web design, things like that. A lot of it was using technology in an educational sense. And so from there, I learned how to utilize studios and learned how to kind of solve problems with technology, ended up back here at the University of Illinois, where they had an idea, and they the university library, there were people within the library, wanted to build something kind of Media Commons-ish. They'd called it the Commons. And they knew that they wanted certain things, a studio. They wanted to be able to provide learnable technology for students. And they knew the kind of solutions they wanted. They didn't know how to get there. So they brought me in, and I kind of took those ideas and figured out the practical applications for them.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about how the Media Commons came together, especially in terms of finances and who on campus was involved?
Sure. So early on, University Library and my boss, the head of the undergraduate library, got together and actually brought in some people from Technology Services, our central IT department. And they all came together once again and said, okay, here's the things that we want the library to provide its patrons. And by patrons, I mean students. And, you know, here's the kind of the big picture. You know, we want to provide media assistance and media creation assistance. We want to provide some technology assistance in the form of, as I said, you know, learnable technology and studios, things like that. And, you know, they kind of set all this stuff out in a mission statement. And along with that, the idea was, okay, we will provide a one-time kind of creation fee from using the library IT student fee money, as well as some reoccurring salary monies for people to come in. And we will have, you know, kind of this bring in people to build this and run this once it's kind of established.
Great, thanks. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about staffing for the Commons beyond yourself and what training people working here have?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Media Commons, as I said, the Media Commons was originally, I was brought in, my official title is the Media Commons Coordinator. I had been here for about 5 or 6 months, and we started looking at a technology support specialist. So my main job is kind of outreach, and as I said initially, to kind of build the Media Commons and keep it running. We knew that we were going to need somebody to run studios and also provide some kind of broader technology support. So we brought in Jake Metz, who is our technology support specialist. And the two of us are kind of the full-time backbone to the Media Commons. We then, based on kind of popularity and the studios growing in popularity, we started bringing in student workers to process the requests for the video and audio studios. And then very recently, we were able to bring in a graduate student who can kind of assist us with our website and social media. I had built the original website and some revisions based on that, but it's great to be able to kind of have somebody else take the responsibility so that we can focus on some of the bigger picture ideas. And then also, we've been very lucky in that based on our technology experience and the media creation experience, we've worked with some other departments where, in exchange for training some of their personnel on how to do media creation, video editing, running studios, and things like that, they will actually donate time back to the Media Commons. And so it's a great way for us to get resource assistance without actually having to provide a budget for it. It's kind of a bartering system that's worked really well for us.
That's awesome. Can you talk about what types of projects students are creating using the Commons?
Yeah, so we provide support actually for students primarily and then faculty and staff for the university. Students primarily are creating a lot of interview-based or video-based projects. The central idea being that I think the university wants to push something outside of your traditional assignment. So instead of just writing a paper on a topic or just, you know, having to do kind of what I would consider kind of traditional assignments, they want to give them other options for project creation. And so instead of writing a three-page paper on this topic, can you interview somebody about it? Or does your group want to do a skit about it or things like that? So that's a lot of what our students kind of primarily do in our video studios. But we also see lots of other things. We have students creating animated web series that they use the audio booth to record the audio for. There are students who do kind of personal projects in the video studio. They just want to do kind of a YouTube weekly message, you know, whether it's a personal message or whether it's a personal topic or something that they have an RSO for. We've seen a lot of RSOs come in and they want to do kind of anti-sexual harassment or anti-discrimination. You know, they come in and want to do these kinds of messages. And that's the stuff that the Media Commons, especially we personally, really want to try to support when we can, are these kind of positive message media creations. Because a lot of these groups don't necessarily have a budget, they don't have people who are experts in this area, and if we can help them kind of get messages like that out, we're very happy to do so.
Cool. When you meet with students during consultations, what kind of questions do they typically have for you?
So I should back up and say that one part of the Media Commons that we really don't provide predominantly is editing services, and that's just based on resources. You know, in order to do video editing, we would have to have a much larger team that we do. And so what we will do is, you know, we'll help you create the content, and then kind of we can sit down with you and give you kind of some basic editing expertise and then answer questions. So a lot of the things that we get back from students is, you know, this is my first time editing a project. I've taken a first stab at it. Can you give me some assistance? Or I'm having problems in this one area. And we really try to promote students, you know, giving them the tools to kind of take an initial creation, give them the tools to kind of take a first stab at it, you know, make a first run at creating their video, and then we're happy to come back in and answer those questions and make, you know, help them make it a little bit better. We just want them to kind of try it first.
Great. How are students' project files typically stored and delivered? I mean, is there a streaming service on campus that students can use to share videos?
Sure. With videos, we do have a service called MediaSpace, mediaspace.illinois.edu on campus. It's run by a company called Kaltura, and it's basically an educational YouTube. And so instead of, you know, pushing things out to YouTube where the terms of service with YouTube is actually that if you put something up on YouTube, YouTube owns the rights to it. It's the, you know, it's the compromise you make when you use a free service, is that they retain rights. And they don't generally do anything with it, but it's always a little, you know, I'm always a little leery to say, okay, I've created this thing and now I want to hand it over to somebody else. So the nice thing about MediaSpace is that it's very easy, it's educational focused, you retain rights, and also you have a little more rights over permission. So if it's a class, the instructor can create a channel for it and then make their students the only ones that can view or add content to it. So it's very class specific. If you do want it to be public, you can still do that, but you have a little more rights where maybe with YouTube or something else, Vimeo, things like that, you may not have. So we really try to promote that kind of internal solution when we can.
Cool. librarians everywhere are really happy to hear that.
Yeah.
Do you or any librarians that you work with talk to students about any aspects of digital preservation, like file naming, storage, best practices, things like that?
We provide workshops and demonstrations within the Media Commons, but a lot of my job actually is to go into classrooms. You know, we'll do one-on-one when we can, but I find that it's much more successful for the Media Commons when we're allowed to go into a class specifically and talk to a wider range of students. And so when we go in and we talk about the Media Commons, we do kind of give them a very basic understanding of copyright. You know, what's the difference? You know, what's included in fair use and then what's not included in fair use? Because it does, you know, for class projects, I think it's never, but often it's not intentional that they're thinking, oh, I'm just going to use this free copyrighted music and whatever. You know, they're not thinking about it. They don't know that it's necessarily a copyright issue or it's not something that's important to them. So making them aware that not only is that a potential copyright issue, but there are other avenues. There is lots of free music. There's Creative Commons, royalty-free music out there that they can utilize, and it's just as easy of a search as, you know, going onto YouTube or going using one of their MP3s. So we try to cover the basics, but then we are also obviously always available for consultation services. So if you do have a question about that, we're happy to go more in depth. I feel like generally you don't want to overload them. You just want to kind of give them the basics and then let them kind of run with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you make arrangements or assist with screenings of student works? Like if they make a video and they want to?
That's an interesting question. It's certainly something we've tried in different avenues and haven't really found a successful model yet. When the Media Commons first opened, it was one of the primary missions was to screen student project work. And we just ran into difficulties, and the best way to do that, and I still feel strongly about it, we're just trying to figure out how we want to provide that service, whether it is a space, a screening space where students or an RSO or a class can come in and know that this is going to be kind of an optimal place to watch a video. Is it some kind of digital signage that is just running, you know, best projects? We're always looking at it, and it's just a matter of setting up the process to have you know, working with instructors so that they can provide us with projects that, you know, people want to see or students are interested in showing us projects. I think that's something that needs to develop over time in a proper way versus just saying, you know, we're just going to start throwing things up on a screen and see if people enjoy it.
Cool. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Does the Media Commons or the library keep or house any of the works that students create, like in a more of an archival?
We do have, and this is something I'm not as much aware of. There's a system on campus called Ideals, which I think is more of a I'm doing student experiments sounds weird, but you know, I'm doing something for research or I'm doing something that's official and I needed to get permissions, and this is going to be kind of the archive for that.
Okay.
We in the Media Commons, we will generally kind of informally house whether it's video or audio creation, we'll house it for a semester or for a year, just in case a student has an issue with a thumb drive or their computer, we know that they can come back and get it. And it's happened fairly often where something's gone wrong and they're obviously quite relieved when they find out that we've got a copy of their stuff for them. But we don't necessarily do any kind of formalized archiving of past student projects unless specifically, you know, kind of asked to do so.
Thanks. Can you talk about any unexpected challenges you've encountered with the job and how you dealt with them?
Well, we're sitting in the audio booth currently, and one thing that we see a lot is that students will, and I think this is a great thing in theory, is that they will try to problem solve when something's not working. However, problem solving in the audio booth generally looks like we're going to unplug everything in the audio booth and try to rewire it to make it work. So that's been something that's been a little bit of a troubleshooting situation where, you know, we're kind of fixing the audio booth a lot. On a non-technical side, I think most of the things have worked out fairly well because our main initial mission or one of our initial strong ideas was to build things organically. So we started small, and instead of setting a lot of policies or restricting things heavily, we kind of put it out there and just wanted to see what the issues that would arise would become, and based on those issues we would modify or grow. And almost all the time, by not restricting or not setting heavy policies, we found that our patrons and our students really kind of self-utilize in the proper manner. And if they run into an issue, they will try to solve it on themselves. If something is an issue, they'll take it upon themselves. And so we were able to grow much more organically than setting up policies, making it restrictive, and then, you know, fighting that over the long term. I think if you give people some responsibility and you respect them, they will in turn respect the thing and the services that you're providing them.
And last question, what do you like most about your job?
I love this job. It's really, really kind of cliche, but I think this is, for my personal interests and what I like to do, this is actually kind of the perfect job for me. It's a lot of problem solving. It's a lot of getting to buy technology and figure out how to make it work given what you need, the problem that you need to solve. And it's always interesting. It's always chaotic. Excuse me. It's always chaotic, but personally, I feed on that. I really like that my job is different every single day, and I don't just come in and do the thing that I've been doing. There's always somebody that wants to request some... for example, we'll get doctoral students, or we'll get professors that come in and say, you know, I'm about to go to France or Africa or somewhere over the summer to do some doctoral study, and I need to know what kind of equipment I can take with me. And it's amazing to be able to say, okay, given your instance, you know, you're doing all these things, how do we solve that problem based on technology requirements and budget? And it's a lot of fun.
Okay. Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for agreeing to this interview and telling us about your space and what you do. And it's been really fascinating conversation. So
absolutely.
Thanks very much, Eric. Mm-hmm.